Welcome to the Cannabis Therapy Podcast. I'm your host, Earl Carruthers, and I have been a serial cannapreneur in the growing, processing, and retail space for over 8 years. And we are here to learn together to get a well-balanced understanding of cannabis and cannabis products. Tune in every week for quality cannabis education for your canna inspiration. All right, we got a little delay. Give me the live signal. All right, bet. Hello, 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 and what up, though? Welcome to the Cannabis Therapy Podcast Show. Yes, we are live. This is a total interactive show. We have a great topic today. We are going to be talking about cannabis business marketing 101. All the do's and don'ts to consider when it comes to cannabis marketing. You would think, you know, marketing cannabis is pretty simple, pretty easy, but man, it is complicated. There are some nuances you need to learn. A lot of people can get banned and blocked from certain medias, so we're going to kind of get into that. We have a special guest as well who specializes in cannabis marketing, and she's going to give us some of her expert tips for helping build up a lot of brands as well. So again, hello, 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 and welcome to the Cannabis Therapy Podcast Show. Let me know if you're out there in the comments. Say what's up, though. Let me know where you're watching from. You at work and all that jazz. Again, today we're going to be talking about cannabis business marketing 101. All the do's and don'ts. What's up, Crystal Marie? What up, though? All the do's and don'ts to consider. We're going to be doing that. So, again, if this is your first time watching, we pretty much help people avoid uncomfortable experiences. That's our goal here. Through education, through advocacy, and through making connections, whether that's physically in the club. We have a private club here, or if that's online as well, that's what we are about, so that we can all consume cannabis more comfortably, whether that's around other people, whether that's you not eating that edible and having that one experience that everyone has. Our goal is to do that, and that's what this podcast is about. We have different series. Sometimes we get into the history of cannabis. Sometimes we get into the science of cannabis. Sometimes we get into how to make cannabis products, the do-it-yourself, and sometimes we also get into growing cannabis. That's a very popular series, but this here is the business side of cannabis. This is our weekly Cannabis Connect series for those who are looking to get into the industry or those who are in the industry to kind of network with each other, make connections, again, to help people avoid those uncomfortable experiences. So that is it. We have a great show for you. Again, this is totally interactive. What's up, though, Miss G? What's up, though, Ribby? What's up, though? I forget there's another name, too. I'm not going to try your last name. You get mad at me if I don't say it right, so it's all good. All right, so... All right, I'm going to introduce our guest. We have, we have our usual co-host now. As long as he shows up on time, he's still the co-host. Otherwise, who knows. But we have the prophet who is well abreast and knowledgeable in the concentrate game, in the extraction game. But really, just more than that, just even making cannabis devices. I mean, the guy had made a vape machine out of a drill. Yeah, believe it or not. That's the prophet. We got him on as well. And we also have Jess Jackson from Copper House and Loud Social. Jess Jackson has an MBA and an MED. I want to know what the MED stands for. Excuse me for my lack of things there. But she's in content marketing strategist. She's writer, designer, community architect, educator, and healing practitioner. Damn, that sounds deep. With some of her big accomplishments, she's helping to build Copper House, a completely 420 friendly Airbnb and overnight accommodation. Those are popping up a lot. But this is in Detroit, on Detroit's northwest side, right off the Avenue of Fashion, which has the highest concentration of Black owned business in the US. Yeah, so that's something big that she's working on right now. Also, Jess is a co-owner of content marketing design firm Loud Social. I like that. Loud is kind of indirectly talking about cannabis. I like that. Which has launched a series of community-focused campaigns. So, yeah, so without any further ado, I know some of you are tired looking at me. I am going to bring on my... Let me make sure I get you guys on mute. Unmute yourselves if you can.
Hello.
Hi. Hi, Jess.
Hello. What up, though?
What up, though? How's the introduction? Was that cool?
Yeah, you did a phenomenal job.
All right. So you're locally in Detroit, and you're in a marketing game, huh?
Yeah, sort of. I'm content marketing, so social media strategy. And also activations with brands in community engagement points.
And there's a lot of bumps in the road, I'm sure, when it comes to marketing cannabis. It's not the same as if this was a gym or this was, you know, a fast food store. It's a little bit different, right?
Yeah. And a lot of platforms don't allow marketing for cannabis products, not even CBD. We've had clients that we've had to work around even just how we market and promote CBD.
Awesome. Awesome. So we're going to get into that. I have some content we're going to jump into. Prophet, I see you. Hopefully you got your seatbelt on. It looks like you're driving and you're doing a show. I don't know if that's safe, brother. I need you to sign a disclosure.
This is something I advocate people to do. I would be there, man, but I hit a mountain of traffic.
It's all good, man. But definitely, hey, man, stay safe, man. I'm just glad you're not smoking and driving the same time, because that will be a crime live on TV.
Yeah, I know, right? I'd be just crazy.
All right, cool. Let me break up my slides. We're going to get to this content. It's just without smoke. Oh, man, he's killing you right now. All right, let me get my slides up. Come on, switch with me. All right, so we're going to get into the do's and don'ts. If I drop off and freeze, it's not you, it's me. So some of the things I want to kind of go over right now is, well, one, the state regulations and requirements when it comes to marketing and cannabis. I want to get into that. And then I also want to get into the do's and don'ts of the cannabis business. Whatever you guys have maybe had experiences with this as well. And then I also want to get into navigating the marijuana marketing maze. So any tips when it comes to marketing cannabis that we can give, any solutions, I want to get into that as well. So without any further ado, my first slide is kind of, so is it important, and I'll start with you, Jess, is it important, how important is it to understand marketing on a state level, or is it more a federal level, or is it kind of both?
I would say it's both, and even local level too, because cities have their own ordinances. And I see lots of like cannabis billboards popping up in Detroit, and how they market their products, how they market their dispensaries or whatever they're promoting has to match with what the city says is okay. So it's important to like know all of the regulations. The biggest things that is like for processors, I would feel, is like, how are you marketing your items so that they're not appealing to children? So a lot of like edibles that have brand names or things that are similar to candy are actually things that are not within compliance. How on your labeling and things like that, how are you including your testing, right? And as our market becomes more mature and cannabis consumers are more knowledgeable about what that means, they'll be expecting that as well. And then in terms of like social media presence, that's probably where you'll have the biggest footprint and reach, is really leveraging those digital platforms. And the language and things that you have to use there are kind of like nuanced, but that's not governed kind of by regulations. That's governed by the platform usually.
Got it. Is there anything you could think of as far as, let's say, you know, I think we're all here in Michigan, and particularly Detroit, Michigan. One thing that kind of sticks out that really on a state level or a city level, an example of how you can advertise. For example, I feel like if you're medical, you have to mention that you're a provision center, which is not like every other state. I think that's like a state thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that there's jargon across state lines, though. Like that's what we call them here in Michigan, but that might be different in a different state. I think that you really can't actually, because of federal regulations, promote the medicinal benefits of THC and CBD. Like the FDA has rules and regulations on that. So when claims. We think about like, not, yeah, you can't have those medical claims. So when you think about what you're promoting, and if you want to align it to like wellness benefits, even the testimonials, like where someone might say like, oh, you have this product and I'm using it and treated my anxiety, and they're saying like, this is my experience, you have to clean that even of the medical claim. So it's like very strict in terms of what you're saying your products can do would be my biggest tip.
Okay. So once you kind of understand the do's and don'ts of the state level, kind of want to get into what, I mean, Prophet yourself, when it comes to marketing, have you come to any bumps that you came to as far as on the extraction side?
So, yeah, we've dabbled in CBD a lot. And, you know, between producing products for people and selling our own products, and the biggest tip advice I could ever give to anybody is to read the FDA's truth in advertising rules, because that is what governs the CBD industry. And all of the letters that went out initially in 2019 and then the follow-up letters in 2020, all of the asserted complaints by the FDA had to do with claims and not following their truth in advertising rules. And they've even updated it because of all the different things that are coming out in the CBD industry. And I think it's a great guideline for the THC industry and, you know, recreational and medical this is a great guideline of what you should follow when you're working on, you know, how you're going to do your advertising.
Okay. All right, let's continue that and some of the things that we do or what you should do when it comes to cannabis marketing. One of the first things we talk about in marketing is talking about brand strategy. Any tips or advice, Jess, what you should do when it comes to marketing in considering your brand?
Yeah. I don't know if you're familiar with The Golden Circle by Simon Sinek. He gave a TED Talk. And it's kind of like at the center is starting with your why. I think as you're developing your brand strategy, you need to really focus on why you're there. What is it like? And not focusing on what you're doing, not focusing on what you're selling, but why are you doing that? For me, a lot of what I do really centers on community and holding space for a community that has no place, right? So Copper House is really centered on the Black queer community and having a safe space to consume and stay. Because when my wife and I go out of town, that's not always our experience. When I think about content marketing, one of the biggest campaigns that I've done with Loud Social is Curvy Cannabis. We just got featured in Metro Times today, which is dope. But it centers on larger body women in the cannabis aesthetic, because we make up 65% of the population, but are only included in 2% of content marketing, right? So my biggest is knowing why you're doing what you're doing, because then that's going to help you touch the audience that matters for. And you're in an age of conscious consumerism. And so as you're talking about your brand, being able to share that message and mission is really going to land with audiences.
Not to put you on the spot, but I'm giving you a heads up, not to put you on the spot. So you're kind of on the spot. With Copper House, what would you say is the brand strategy of Copper House?
Yeah, we've used the influencer strategy, a community influencer strategy. So we've done a lot of micro activations with brands and really partnered with key influencers within that Black queer community. And then they talk about our space, right? Like a lot of folks might use like referral based strategies. That's like, but we are in the age of social media, and a lot of what we do is influencer engagement and influencer marketing centered on a certain community.
Now, if someone wanted to kind of use that, especially with cannabis, I think that's a good idea. If someone wanted to do the influencer strategy, what advice would you give them? Listen to this podcast. If they're looking to get into the industry, or they're in the industry and they want to use the influencer strategy, how do they find the influencers based upon, I guess, going back to what your why is?
I think one, use a hashtag strategy to identify those communities if you have a why, right? Like, so if you're centering on the Black queer community, for example, I look up BIPOC, right? BIPOC Detroit, I look up QPOC Detroit, I look up queer Detroiters, like, right? Like I'm centering on those hashtags to identify the community. And then figuring out which organizations they connect to and which folks they're listening to. I think a lot of times folks get caught up in the number of followers that influencers have. Like, you want somebody with 50K followers because that's the reach. When you're trying to sell, when you're actually like generating leads and like folks that actually have conversion rates, you want micro influencers, which have that 2.5 to 10K follower. They have better relationships with their followers. Their followers actually listen to what they're saying. So it would be better to have 10 micro influencers who only have 2.5K, which has a 25,000 reach in the room where they're going to be. It's going to lead to more conversion than just having the one person who has 25,000 followers. One, the 25,000 follower person is going to cost you more money, but they also have lower conversion rates in terms of their sales. Gotcha. So I would focus on those micro influencers and really using a hashtag strategy to identify the community and identifying who has influence in those spaces. You can also do like media searches too, right? So who's being featured in different media outlets that centers on that community and that why.
Dropping knowledge, dropping dimes out here, dropping dimes. I like it. I like it. You got to pay attention. All right, Prophet, anything about brand strategy? I know you like to take your shirt off and just do dabs on your YouTube channel. Is that your brand strategy, Prophet?
So our brand strategy with the Dabs and Show.
Excel.
We just like to, it's real. So we go for like an adult Sesame Street approach. We're trying to bring real information to people in like the simplest way possible. And it's kind of goofy. It's kind of not. It's, we're getting high in the show, but my CPA comes on, the Terp Prophet, and he'll start talking about real tax stuff that a normal human being, knowledge that they would really benefit from. Because a lot of people don't think about their taxes or their life, personal, money planning. And nowadays, especially, with the hyperinflation we're experiencing, budgeting now means more than anything to try to get through the landscape. And I love what you were saying, about the micro strategy with the different micro influencers. The cannabis industry isn't one giant Bud Light market. And that's what these corporate master gigantic people who are in already think it is. And it's not. It's not a one shoe fits all. It's a community of tens of thousands of micro communities. In my mind, the cannabis industry is the space for everybody who's never had a space to come together and have a voice and a platform. And I love the micro strategy you talked about. And the only thing I would say, because I'm an inventor, is I focus on the consumer. Like, I focus on who is going to use my product, because they're me. And I want to make something that, if I love it and get even the remotest effect from it, the average human, it's perfect. I told Earl about this a couple of times. When we R&D a product, we'll take it out to a local area and we will give it to people for nothing. Try it. Tell us what you think. And, after years and years of doing that, we finally workshopped a product that the world will love. And that was the, other than the micro communities, I think, to diversify.
Know your target market. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Have a target market. And get to know who they are. I got you. Now, we got someone has asked, what's the Prophet's channel? I mentioned your YouTube channel, but, I don't want to, I want everyone to stay here. I don't know if I want to give your channel out right now, Prophet. No, I'm just joking. What's your YouTube channel, brother?
The Dabs and Show.
Okay.
I highly recommend it. The Dabs, D-A-B-S, and Show. And the and show is... The latest episode was Dabs in Division, where we talked about hate in America and how.
All right, well, okay, Prophet, you're done. This is the Cannabis Therapy Podcast Show, okay, brother? All right, we're done. All right, I gave you a little 2 seconds. It's all good. All right. Talked about number one. No, it's all good. Do strengthen your brand strategy. It's all good. Now, the next thing I'm going to talk about, should you try to blend in? I mean, there's a lot of stores coming up, a lot of grows, a lot of stores. Prophet, you mentioned Budweiser type scenario. Should you just be like everybody else and kind of just blend in? Is that a do or is that a don't? And just we could start with you.
I would say differentiate as much as possible. Like the market in Michigan, it's interesting because I just went to a conference in New York and their market is just emerging. Like they're very new. We have a fairly, like on the medical side of the house, right? Like we've been around for 10 years. We have a fairly developed, we're consuming some top level. Like I think we're top three in terms of consumption in the nation. Like people like weed in Michigan, we already kind of have an established market. The regulations change constantly. And we see that the market is becoming saturated, like with suppliers, right? And so the more that you can differentiate yourself, identifying your target and niche market, connecting with them authentically, because what you're going to be approaching, what you need to approach is customer loyalty. You want the customers that are coming back and want to stay committed to your brand. And so the more that you can, yes, do the R&D on your people, know who your people are, cater to them, right, and provide quality customer service and care and retain them. That would be my suggestion, is like really focus on building a long-term customer retention strategy.
Agreed. Prophet, anything to add about that, about blending in? I don't think there's any blending in about you, brother.
No. I don't try to blend in. We try to diversify and, you know, make things that don't exist. And I would, other than, I think you hit the nail on the head, the only other thing would be to, you know, work your supply chain to put out products that people can afford. You know, that's one massive thing in the cannabis industry and CBD. It's ridiculous. Everything is way too expensive. If you worked your production process and your COGS, you can make products that people can afford. And that's diversification. That's not blending in.
Okay. I like it. So don't blend in is another one. Now we touched on some social media before, and I kind of want to go a little bit deeper. We talked about the influencer strategy, but how can someone use social media as an advantage in this cannabis industry? So we talked about do strengthen your brand strategy. Don't try to blend in. And then now we're talking about do use social media carefully. Why do we say the word carefully? Do you guys have any stories of where a cannabis company is using social media and they're even trying to use different strategies and then something happens? Jess, is there a reason why we need to be careful when we're using social media in cannabis?
Yeah, there's three cases that I could talk about. One, you spend a lot, like if you're doing ads on social media, for example, you're going to spend a lot of money running ads that will get shut down. So we've worked with a company, we run ads, and then they stopped the campaign and it cost all this money to do that because we used the wrong word or wrong image or something like that. So it'll cost you money if you're not using it carefully. Two, I think that if you're not effectively identifying which platforms are for which audience, right? Like I am not on TikTok. I need to be. I know that that's where the youngins are. I know that's where you're going to get the reach. The yield is crazy on TikTok. I'm not on there. And brands need to be on there though. And so like recognizing which platform is the trendy platform and how you're going to get higher reach for your dollars, which platforms are for your audience, right? Like, and what type of content is relevant for each platform, right? Like Facebook, people spend more time maybe reading an article that you post because it's easy to get to. You post an article on your Instagram feed, they might not read that, right? Instagram is for pretty pictures. Now they're prioritizing videos and reels. So like being very strategic about how you're using each platform is the other carefully I would name, right? So you're going to waste money. You're also not going to reach your audience if you're not using the platforms appropriately. And then the last thing is you're going to waste time because your page could get shut down. I've seen brands get their whole page taken off. And they're Canoclusive, actually, if you follow Canoclusive, has a good resource for any brands that have gotten shut down on how community can advocate to help get brands back live, because they got their page shut down and they're like at 65K or something like that. So those would be like the three reasons why. Don't want to waste money. You want to reach the right people with the least, like you want to optimize your content, right? And you don't want to get stuff shut down.
Well, that makes sense. Prophet, you have any examples of, you know, anybody who got kicked out of social media for
I do. Myself. My ad account on Facebook was banned for promoting, you know, my CBD company at one point, client CBD companies, you know, running ads. And I mean, we're talking now 2 years of appealing this, and they may give me my ad account back. And I have countless people in the circle that, you know, that 65,000 story, that is sadly a norm in the industry on the major platforms. And that was the non side of it is you're starting to see alternative social media platforms pop up that feed the micro communities Jess was talking about. And these are the places where people are going to congregate now on the internet because they're not being censored. So you can put up like Sizzlet, you can put up, it's weed based. So great. That is a perfect avenue for, you know, everybody in our industry. And as the numbers start to rise, you'll start to see a leveling. And, you know, with Facebook advertising, you know, years ago, if you're a non-cannabis business, I totally recommend advertising on Facebook. Now, and I'm with Jess, I don't really see the value in it when there's like things on TikTok. You know, you post a video on YouTube or Facebook, it might get 40, 50, 100 views, you know, with a brand new account. You post a video on TikTok and it gets 500 views. And, you know, you didn't pay for each of them. But you'd have to pay to get 500 views with a brand new account on Facebook as opposed to TikTok or the trendy platform. I mean, you know, 5 videos, 500 views each, or 5 videos on other platforms and 10, 20, 50 views each. It adds up really, really quickly.
Man, that's interesting because I'm going to go back to, you know, why are you talking about how you got kicked out? So general guidelines, if you don't make any health claims, I know Jesse mentioned about this earlier, some kind of tips on what not to do. No claims on health or medical benefits. Nothing to appeal to children, cartoon characters, or can't any false or misleading statements. Now, if you're not doing these and you still get kicked off, what would you say? I mean, Prophet, were you doing any of those? Were you outside of the, were you appealing to children, Prophet, during your...
During the advertisements, yeah. I paid for. No, it didn't appeal to kids. There wasn't any false or misleading statements. It was literally CBD oil, 2,000 milligrams, with the price in the line, and that's it. Because I knew I couldn't say anything. I just wanted to tell people what it was and get it out there. And the rep that banned my account explained it: when you sign our rights agreement, we can ban your account for anything at our discretion. It's our service. Yeah. I can deny you service whenever I want. And I thought that was sad because now you do see a little bit of CBD business advertisements. But again, it's, I'm a CBD business. Here we are. Come and hit the click through so you can get to our website. So you're not on Facebook anymore. And now there's no rules.
Okay. And a couple more, no testimonials. No, Jess, you talked about that. No depictions of product consumption or pricing information. Well, there you go, Prophet. Pricing information, well, potency statements,
pricing information,
promotional offers, or ads for infused products must be state for adult use only. So there's a couple things when using social media. Now, man, is there a good return? I know, Jess, you talked about a couple things, return on kind of your dollar or your time. I personally, this is about as much social media as I do. And I don't even watch the comments. I don't even know. I don't even go back and even watch. But I'm not on Facebook. I'm not on Instagram. And I never got into Clubhouse. TikTok is like, man, do I really want, man.
I invited you a lot to Clubhouse.
You did, bro. You sent me like 7.
It now. It's bad. It's not what it used to be.
Yeah. Okay.
I would also add, like, a lot of folks, like, in addition to like for adult use only, you could also put for educational purposes only, nothing for sale, like just like, yeah. Getting those things though. In terms of return on investment in social media, I get very stressed over content engagement on social media because like it's a data point, right? Like that shows your progression. You could use it that way to inform something. And I think that what I have tried to like reframe it as is it's just another credential, right? Like the same way you said, what's an MED? It's a master's of education, which means I can teach. I got a master's in business, which means I got some knowledge about running a business, right? Like having a certain number of followers with a certain level of engagement also gives me some level of credibility in the industry and has invited me to tables. That's how y'all found me, you know? So like, right. I do see value in terms of building your credibility as a business. And oftentimes, as I'm going to name it, as a Black woman in this industry, who's also not, I mean, I own that I'm light skinned and I have light skin privilege, but I'm not like, I don't have the same sex appeal, you know, like sometimes having the clout from social media gets me at tables. And like, that is how can I advance if I don't use that as a resource? And so I think about it as a tool that I can use and harness to my advantage.
Now you mentioned the word, I know, thank you for clearing up MED. I don't know why I drew a blank on that, but master's in education, apparently, my bad. Now, is that really the key strategy when it comes to social media though? I know we talked about influencers, ambassadors. What about, is it really the education pieces? Like really, that's kind of what this strategy is right now. I mean, with the podcast, it's an educational strategy to bring awareness of the brand, build a community, while at the same time giving things of value. Is that kind of end of the day the best social media strategy to you?
Remember I said like start with your why. I think that your strategy needs to be informed by that. So if you're why is to, I liked how you even opened today is like, so y'all don't make dumb decisions, like mistakes. I don't remember the like tagline that you said exactly, but it's like, just so you know better, right? Like, so you do better, you know better. If that is your goal, is to make sure that folks don't go through the same, you know, missteps that we all have gone through for them to know better, then it makes sense that you would have an educational strategy, right? Like your why aligns to that. If you're goal is to connect people or to help people heal, maybe there is an educational element, but also maybe there is activation or community meetups or community convenings. And it's less important about the education that they get, but the connections that they make. So I would say that your strategy should align to your goal, your mission. What's your purpose? Why are you doing this? And then I think that, and it can't just be to make money or to like return a dollar. There should be a bigger purpose. And then your strategy follows that way.
Okay. Okay. Now I'm gonna move forward a little bit about, thank you for that. That's actually, and the tagline was helping people avoid uncomfortable cannabis experiences through education, advocacy and connection so you can consume cannabis more comfortably. that's the goal. So now we talked about some influencers earlier, we talked about ambassadors as well. I'm curious about like, is this something that you're paying, that you are, I guess, how in your opinion, and I know it varies, but just from your experience, are you more partnering with that influencer? Are you paying them? Are you giving them discounts? Like, what are some do's and don'ts when it comes to using brand partners, influencers, and ambassadors, from your opinion?
Yeah, so I'm going to have two perspectives. One, as an agency owner who works directly with influencers and community on behalf of cannabis brands, and one as a micro influencer myself who has gotten contracts with cannabis brands, right?
Okay.
So from the lens of, because there are so many barriers to entry in this industry. I'm going to be realistic, like folks that look like me, have shared experiences with me, the likelihood of us being successful from a regulated standpoint is 4%, right? Like nationally, we don't have a lot of owners that look like me, right? And so when we're having an influencer strategy with companies, that is one way that I feel like brands are able to do some redistribute to community, right? Like to community that like they get to be able to work with and partner with key community influencers. And so as a brand who's looking to target markets, I would say pay those influencers what they're worth. Because you're asking for access to their community. And a lot of them have authentic relationships with those communities, and them giving you access is a gift and a privilege. So I would never consult on behalf of a client to not pay my influencers what they're worth. And from an influencer lens, ask for what you're worth. I have, if someone comes to me and asks for, I have a price list that is like, this is it. If you want a story post, if you want a feed post, if you want me to have a speaking engagement, if you want me to curate space, this is the price point that we're starting at. And anything different, we will negotiate. But I know what I want to be paid, and I'm very clear and direct about that. So have that price list. And also recognize that there is value in your community. And so sometimes I do things as an influencer that I'm not making money on because it's an authentic connection with my community and because I value that, right? So when it comes to, I had an influencer do a pop-up at Copper House and I didn't charge them the rental fee or the venue fee because I knew what they were doing mattered for my community and I'm able to do that. And so thinking about how you can negotiate when you're doing meaningful work from the influencer side. And then hell yes for like the corporate side and business side, like influencers really, that's how you get the reach. That's how you get the connection points. That's how you get the sales in different niche audiences. But I would say start by knowing what audience you want to connect with authentically, identify the influencers that actually have good engagement, and then pay them what they're worth because it's hard work. Like social media is a job. Like people don't understand that it's a job. Coming up with clever content that people relate to, that people want to engage with, that's work.
You got to think. No, you got to think. It's like those words, you have to think how they're coming out. And no, I get it. And I can't stand my phone anyway. I want to toss it in the water every time, but I just apparently I'm here right now, live on YouTube. All right. No, so you mentioned earlier, I'm going to back up just a second. You mentioned earlier, you pay them what they're worth. You also get an example where you kind of maybe, I would say bartered to where, okay, you can use this venue. So it doesn't have to necessarily be a monetary conversation. If you're offering something else of value to them, you can kind of negotiate what that value is.
If they're willing and open to that, right? Like I had space, they were able to get the space for free and charge ticket price, right? So they still got paid what they wanted and got paid more. So then that was something we were able to barter, but that's something that person wanted. If they don't, if you don't have any, don't just think that giving them free product is enough because I haven't bought weed in a year. I get free product everywhere.
I can't give someone an ounce and be like, yo, come on. Everybody's doing the same thing. Everybody's giving out free weed for
everybody. Yes.
I stepped my game up.
Stuff ain't even fire though. Like
profit. We gotta do the cartridges, man. We're gonna barter cartridges. We're gonna do some cartridges from the lab, something that no one's got. Yo, give us a shout out. We got these cartridges, unregulated. It's all good. Just joking. It's all regulated. Test it. Just saying. All right, we're live on CBD camera. CBD. All right. One last about partnering with other like-minded brands. Say, you know, Jess, you got Copper House. You know, we got the Craft Campus Club. You that in itself could be necessarily, you know, say we partner together and did like a cross promotion event. Is that a strategy as well when it comes to using brand partners?
Yes, I think that's a strategy that's often a missed opportunity in Detroit. To be completely honest, I think that we're a very competitive, like dog eat dog. We need to like work against each other. But community and authentic connection and partnering has been really how I've grown my business, right? Like how am I able to have a chef who's doing their own thing in my kitchen? Or how am I able to have a massage therapist come or a photographer come and really like doing some of those cross things? And even like, as we think about bigger spaces, we are an intimate space, right? So like, what does it mean to have expansive space that we have like shared events? Like, I absolutely think partnering and collaboration and finding synergies is what's going to help Black and Brown folks in this industry generally.
I agree. And that's kind of was the point, not a shameless plug here, but the point of the Craft Campus Club itself was to bring our community together of like-minded people where we all can help lift each other up. There's plenty to go around. It's a big pie. Everybody can get a piece. No iteration. Sometimes you need an electrician. Sometimes you need someone else who does edibles. Sometimes you need someone else who's in retail, someone's in processing. Or even if you're both in processing, there's still plenty to go around, teach each other, uplift each other. That's kind of what's the point of the club. So, yeah, no, I agree. We're going to have to talk some more, Jess. We're going to have to talk some more.
I'll hold you to that.
I love that. just a shameless plug. So they threw some slides in here that it's supposed to tell me to pause and like talk about like a commercial. So this was I kept skipping. I'm like, I don't want to do that, but I'm going to do it right now. All right, so check out cannabistherapynetwork.org. You can get all our show notes are there. It's free. This is a free resource. I want everybody again to avoid those bad reactions. And it's not even just consuming. It could be you giving a bad reaction because your daughter. It's 21 now and she's consuming it and you reacted bad to it because of all the propaganda and the brainwashing that you have when it comes to consuming cannabis. But we're here to help you not just consume, but help untangle that web of lies so that you can see things more comfortably and you can have a comfortable experience with your daughter who's now consuming cannabis. It's not that bad. She did not become a zombie. She's not a vampire right now. It's just weed, people. It's just weed. All right. With that said, all right, we're going to keep going. All right, a couple more. Do use media coverage to your advantage. How do you feel about, people giving out, people can give out, if you can't advertise, but you can get mentioned in the media, giving out turkeys for Thanksgiving, something like that. Is that a strategy as well when it comes to marketing?
Yeah, that definitely is a strategy. Again, I would go back to that why, right? Because if you're just giving out turkeys for the sake of giving out turkeys and it doesn't really connect to your brand's overall vision, that's where people get flagged for being inauthentic and just doing shit to do shit. I do think that I have gotten so much like media coverage just by my advocacy, like, and I have seen how the PR strategy versus just like regular targeted social media PR strategy has grown my reach way faster than regular social media, right? Like being mentioned in an article and getting that article reshared, it just like, the especially depending on the platform, right? So if this outlet has a lot of followers and is kind of a very trusted source, again, it's building that credibility as a brand. It's getting you as a thought leader. It's getting you recognition for the work that you're doing. But just make sure it's authentic and it's work that you're actually doing, because sometimes folks will try to exploit those opportunities for their advantage, but it's not real. And then that can be a PR nightmare in and of itself.
That's what's up. No, that's, I like going back to your why, going back to that why. That's a key thing. And knowing your target market. Thank you, Adams. I appreciate that comment, that this is a insightful conversation. So that means, Prophet, you can Thanksgiving, you can be outside, don't give out turkeys, but you can give out dabs that has the terpene smell of turkey. How about that? Huh?
Turkey dabs.
Turkey dabs.
I can see some turkey dabs right now.
Turkey dabs.
We'll do some dabs mixed with gravy and we'll just dash it. Dab bags for everyone.
Cranberry Kush dabs. Like we got it.
We have lemon dabbing. Cherry gelato dabs.
Like, there you go.
We're getting close.
We're getting there.
Put peanut butter into a dab, they could put turkey into a dab.
All right. So peanut butter breath, peanut butter cookie, peanut butter double butter. Yeah, I agree. All right, so a couple more, actually two more. Another dough about federal regulations. We talked about this a little bit, but one thing we can't forget about is the federal side of things. I know we kept talking about some state side of things. And Prophet, you said something earlier about the federal agency as well. Can you
truth in advertising?
Now that we are actually on the slide and you're kind of jumping ahead, could you actually repeat that since we're on the slide right now? Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problems. So it's the FDA's rules on truth in advertising. You search that and there's a whole document that's devoted to things you can say, things you can't say, and they even give really awesome examples, especially now with the rulings they did with the CBD companies. Like they even give CBD examples now.
All right. All right, I like it. I like it. So we're talking about marketing. We're talking about cannabis marketing 101, some do's and don'ts. We kind of went over, you know, some do's. We talked about do strengthen your brand strategy. Don't try to blend in. Do use social media, but use it very carefully. And don't forget about, you know, the brand partners and the influence and or the ambassador strategy. And if you don't see a combination of Copper House and Craft Cannabis Club by January 2022, Jess owes me 10 push-ups, okay? She owes me 10 push-ups if that does not happen by January 2022, all right? I'll do five. I got this.
I'll do the other five.
it's on you, girl. It's on you. Let's go. Now, another thing we got to talk about is the email and text marketing. Now, this can get a little tricky. I actually got kicked out a text marketing platform. And I try to find multiple different other text marketing platforms. I like the way that we can have a communication when it comes to texting. I like the two-way conversation, not necessarily the short code, you know, just send it out there, but it then just kind of just stays. I like send it out to have a conversation back. And if you try to use Google Voice too much or use some of these other texting platforms, you can get, you know, spammed and you get your number frozen. So finding a cannabis-friendly texting solution has actually been a little bit more complicated than I ever would have thought. So any thoughts when it comes to email and texting when it comes to cannabis? Any do's or don'ts when it comes to that, Jess or the Prophet?
I would just say that some of my clients are using their POS systems as their platforms now so that it's all in one. And that is something that as you're looking for your CRM or client something management, like whatever, I forget what the
acronym. Relationship. See, I forgot MED and I got CRM, client relation management. We even.
Okay, there you go. Thanks. Thanks for having me. As you scout them out, ask those questions. Like you get a decision as a business owner, which platforms you're going to be paying for. And also recognize that the cannabis industry is an industry and companies that don't want to work with us and don't want to benefit us. You don't have to work with them. There are so many other platforms that are being developed in this moment. You might be in beta testing for some of them, right? Which means that comes with its own kinks. But like, do your research, ask the questions beforehand, and recognize your agency as a business owner to make those decisions. And then look into your POS system would be my suggestion. And make sure that if you're adding anyone to any mailing list, there's some sort of waiver that's like there's something that they do to confirm that they want to be added to them. Yeah. There's some companies that have gotten into trouble just when you are going to their dispensary, you're automatically added to their texting list chains. Yeah. And then that's how lawsuits happen. So make sure that you get that. Yes, I agree to add me to this list somehow.
I like it. I like it. Prophet, any email texting advice that you want to give out here?
Yeah, just I think Jess nailed it. I know Square for CBD companies, you just have to submit all of your CBD business information, all your licensing information, and they'll accept you. And through their platform, they allow that. As long as it's CBD and you have a CBD license in your state, their program's really nice like that.
I agree. And that's a one way, just for, you know, for the record. And that's the one way convo. But when they reply back, do you know if it goes anywhere? Or is it just a one-way push?
You know, I don't know the answer to that one. I have not used the Square platform since we initially used it in 2019, and then the client went their way with it.
Okay, Prof, I need you to go and try to prophesize try to do that. All right, that's what's up. That's what's up. And another thing about email too, because you know with Google, I know a lot of emails now. If you don't whitelist them. Or if they don't accept you into their contacts, it kind of goes to the promotions tab and they sometimes maybe not see that. So one thing too, is if you send out emails kind of, you know, even in like a PS, hey, reply back, let me know you got this. I think that does something too in the algorithm of, all right, you sent this email address a reply back. So it doesn't go to spam or it doesn't go to promotions as well. So I learned that out too as well. But definitely trying to communicate what's going on, all the changes is something that is needed. So, all right, that wraps up, man. This was a very, I love the conversation. I want to kind of go over some takeaways real quick. So I got some things here. Let me know some of your takeaways. I got cannabis business marketing is more complex due to compliance and federal regulations. That is, you know, without said, it's again the result of all this brainwashing propaganda just keeps continuing. It's like, it's wild. The repercussions of this shit is just like, thug. While alcohol, not going to soapbox, while alcohol and, you know, Cialis commercials and all this stuff is everywhere. Or the Abilify, the one with the lawnmower, and the guy's sitting there with the lawnmower just happy as hell. He's just like, yeah, I'm just cutting the grass. Well, if you take this pill, it may kill you. Your eye may fall out. You know, like your nipples are going to become dragons. Just crazy shit. Just who wants dragon nipples? Anyways, since cannabis is still federally illegal, cannabis business marketing can be difficult. Yes, we just said that. Another thing, each state's legislation and rules may vary. Yes, so be careful on a state level. Jess also mentioned on a local level, even though your state may have some rules, your locality, depending on where you are, may even be more stricter or have different languages that you need to use as well. Any other key takeaways? We talked about cannabis marketing 101, the do's and don'ts. Jess, anything on top of your mind?
I would just say know your why and know your audience as a result of that why.
No, I feel like I'm gonna work out in the morning. What's my why? Let's go. What's my why? Profit, key takeaway from this?
Sorry, I broke up for a second there. I would just say key takeaway would be to, isolate your micro market and create products that fit them accordingly. You know, invent, create something new and innovative.
I like it. I want to take a second to thank Jess, thank our guests for coming out and dropping knowledge. I do want to give some ways that people can get out and stay in touch with Jess if you're looking for marketing. I know, Jess, you mentioned a agency, and then we talked about a 420 Airbnb. So Loud is the agency, is that right?
Yeah, Loud Social. So you can follow us on social at loud.social. That's marketing. And then Copper House is the Airbnb, is the Bud and Breakfast. So we're Detroit's first Bud and Breakfast. We're the first listing in 2019. And you can follow us at Copper House DET on Instagram.
Look at that. The first. That's what's up. Light-skinned people represent, baby. That's what I'm talking about. We ain't going nowhere. Right here. Ever since Triple X, we've been hot. All right. So we got Copper. Okay, so Loud, you mentioned the agency. So if someone who's in the industry, what are they reaching out to Loud for? Just give me what kind of market, what kind of client are you targeting with Loud?
Women, millennial women would be who our specialty is.
Awesome. And in what way? As far as hiring them as influencers, I'm sorry, or those who are in
intimate strategies, activations. So we do intimate activations, which are like experiences where you get in front of consumers for them to like experience your product line. We do social media strategy that targets that demographic, content production, any type of consumer engagement generally. So we've done pop-ups at festivals and things like that for brands. But we are most experted. We are millennial women. My business partner, Heather Carter, and I are millennial women. That's who we center.
Now when you do a pop-up and you, this target, they want to reach out to you, are you popping up and bringing people to their, like say dispensary or to their processing center or to their, or to the business? Is that what it is?
It's how are you promoting your business to that community? So when we do pop-ups, for example, we did a pop-up with Green Buddha at Pride. And so we did their activation for their display, and we designed the promotional material that was given to drive traffic there with metrics to measure how successful the investment was.
That's what's up. So the Craft Canvas Club can hire your agency. I'm not a millennial woman. However, I am a light-skinned man who may want to bring on your agency. Will I be accepted? Is that okay?
Yes.
All
right, yes. Cool. If you want the Craft Cannabis Club to target millennial women and you would like to have activations in the space that target that demographic, we would be the perfect agency to work with.
Ooh, yeah. I like it. All right, Prophet. How can people stay in touch with you? I know you mentioned your YouTube. Anything else? You got Instagram, you got banned from everything else?
No. I'm on Instagram, ProfitLife77. Reach out if you ever have any questions or if you want to learn more about dabs and concentrates. I'm always here answering questions.
All right. And again, check out CannabisTherapyNetwork.org. That's a free resource about cannabis education. Cannabis, why it's called cannabis therapy. We believe cannabis has always been used as therapy, and we want to restore cannabis as therapy. Restore is the key word. We kind of got unrestored, if that's even a word, with the war on drugs, and we want to restore it as therapy. And then, of course, we got the Craft Cannabis Club. Check it out. You can schedule your free visit to come check out the club. We have programs every night now. Mondays, we got local comedy shows. Tuesdays, we got karaoke and tacos. Wednesday night, we got live music. We got Hazmat Live tonight. It's a little jazzy, funky type live music. On Thursdays, we got live music as well at night. And then Fridays, we got DJ, comedians, burlesque shows on Fridays. And on Saturdays, we got brunch from 3 to 7. And also, we have now Saturday night house music over at the Craft Cannabis Club. So check us out. We are in Detroit, near the White Castle, off Woodward. I know some of you know where that's at, especially if you've been smoking and you wanted some food at like 12 o'clock in the morning and there's a long ass line. That place be banging. Man, should have opened up a White Castle. It's okay, I'm vegan. They have impossible sliders at White Castle. Y'all know that? Low key, I'll be eating them low key. I'm like, I feel so much better the next day too. You know how sometimes you eat White Castle, you don't really feel right the next day.
But they clean you out.
They do. All right, check out the Cannabis Therapy. We got a podcast every single Wednesday, y'all. Check it out. I know we go live a couple times, but we also we repurpose a lot of the grow content as well. So check that out and be looking for the Homegrown Weed Summit. I'm all about growing weed at home. Fuck mass produced cannabis. I'm all about craft, small grows, and I want to teach 1,000 people how to grow amazing, badass cannabis at home. That's the goal of this summit. The summit's free. We have over 45 different home growers come on and teach their techniques. It's not a pissing contest of who's got the best grow and all that. No, we just want to give knowledge of what works for you, and you kind of pick what method fits your situation. Everybody's different, and everybody has different genetics as well. So that's what's up. So check that out. That's going to be coming as well. Adam says, marketing, cannabis company. I'm pushing my own brand. This information has been very helpful for me. That's what's up. I'm glad this was good info, fam. And thank you for participating and communicating to us and knowing that we're not just a party of three, just talking to ourselves, even though it will be okay. All right. With that said, everybody, I will see you next week, or I will see you around in the club. As we say, keep life rolling. Yes, as I'm starting to say now, actually, because it's a new tagline, but it's all good. All right, y'all. I'll see y'all soon. Thank you for watching. Peace out. Thank you, Jess. Thank you, Prophet. Thanks for listening to the Cannabis Therapy Podcast. For more cannabis therapy blogs and resources, check our website, CannabisTherapyNetwork.org. CannabisTherapyNetwork.org.